cross of Jesus going on before. What a blessing, knowing that Satan cannot triumph over Christ's church or over his believers as we trust in the Lord above all things. The scripture text for today is found in John chapter 16, verses 16 through 22. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Chapter 16 of John. A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, "What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. And because I go to the Father." They said, therefore, "What is this that he says? A little while. We do not know what he is saying." Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, "Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will not see me, and again, a little while, and you will see me. When, most assuredly, I say to you, that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this portion of Scripture, we see Jesus' last week before he's crucified. We see Jesus has been teaching his disciples for 3 years now, and we see that his disciples have learned much, yet they haven't learned it all, and they haven't learned to fully trust in what Christ was saying, or they did not fully understand how he was saying it. One thing they do know, and one thing that Jesus has told them and us, that God has commanded and given Jesus the authority to lay down his own life unto death and to raise it up again. So we see that Jesus was sent by God into the world in the first place. We see that Jesus came to fulfill the promise of the Savior and the promise of salvation. We see that the joy which should be ours and to all Christians, the joy of repentance and the joy of having Christ in our heart and in our life, that we would serve him not only today but forever, all of our lives, so that in serving him we can know we will have eternal life. So as Jesus was taking and trying to tell these disciples, "A little while, and you're going to see me no longer. Then in a little while, you will see me, and your joy will be full." That's a promise God has made to all believers, that we would see him again, that we will see him in our lives, and that we will have joy untold. If we look in our Old Testament lesson in Lamentations, we find that Lamentations was written by the prophet Jeremiah after he had written Jeremiah, and he's called the weeping prophet. We find that Jeremiah spoke to the people of Israel, and for the many years that he prophesied, they would not listen. They threw him in jail. They threw him in a cistern. They tried to drown him. They tried to kill him because they didn't like what he was telling them. Yet he was telling them what God had told him to tell them, and the Spirit of God was upon Jeremiah. So Jeremiah in Lamentations here, he says, you know, it is good that we quietly and patiently wait for the salvation of God. But he also tells us that we have to make sure and realize that all the mercies and compassion that we have in our life is given to us every day by God himself. That God has had mercy upon us, that he has looked upon us, and he has had that mercy, and he gives us the things we need. You know, Jesus said, seek you first the kingdom of heaven, and all of these things that you need will be added unto you. So we see here from Lamentations that God gives us a new day every day. In that new day, he gives us mercy and grace. He has given us our homes. He's given us food. He's given us clothing. He's given us warmth. He's given us shelter. He's given us jobs. He's given us finances in which we can buy different things to help ourselves throughout the day. He has also given us peace, the peace which passes all understanding that the world does not understand or does not know. But he has given us that peace we can have in our heart and in our life as we go throughout the world in our life. You know, when Jesus prayed for his disciples and for all believers, he says, Lord, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but I do ask that you keep them from the world, that they do not let the world overtake them in the things of the world. Satan will come upon you and say, you know, if you follow me, look at all the wonderful things you can buy and the wonderful jobs you might be able to have, and you can glorify yourself by having more toys or more stuff than your neighbor. And your neighbor will want to catch up to you, and you can be really up and at them because you got more than they do. And so you put all of your life into the worldly possessions. And God says, those things are passing away. Do not be a lover of the things of the world, but love Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross, because God says, I have sent my son. I have given you my son. And if you love him and serve him, you will have eternal life. We look at many of our families and we say, what can I get for my children? Or what can I get for certain people that will make them happy? And we stop and forget, or we do not realize that maybe we should be praying for them, asking that God not only give them peace and tranquility in this life, but that he helps them walk through this life having Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. It's told us in Isaiah that as we walk through this life, we are to keep our minds and our vision straight forward on that prize at the end of our life, that we are sojourners, as Peter tells us, that we're sojourners and pilgrims in this life. What we do in this life will determine where we spend eternity. Do you have Christ first in your life? Do you say, Lord, what would you have me to do? For Lord, I am a sinner that has been forgiven by your grace. And being forgiven by your grace, I want to serve you and serve you only, that you are the King living in my heart and the King sitting on the throne of my heart, not some worldly possession, that we come upon Christ and we do his will. You know, God tells us to take and honor all the laws of the land as much as we can, yet we find that there may be times when we have to put God first, such as Daniel, when he knew that the statue had been made and anyone who didn't pray to the statue could be thrown into the den of lions. He did not deviate from his belief or his trust in his God. He did three times a day that he prayed to his God and asked his God for guidance, and the God of the universe that created the heavens and the earth took and helped him kept him and helped him to go and show the love of God in his life, even through the king. And as the king thought highly of Daniel and threw him into the lion's den, the king did not sleep that night. But then early in the morning, he comes at daybreak, and he says, "Daniel, did your God save you?" And Daniel says, "Live forever, O king. I am innocent, and you put me in here under false accusations." So he pulls Daniel up, and he calls all the people that had wanted him to sign this petition, and he threw them into the lion's den. And it says the lions broke their bones and jumped upon them before they even touched the ground, because they had sinned and they had tried to overthrow God. And God says, "I will be with Daniel, because Daniel is faithful unto me." And so we are to be faithful unto God and unto Christ, because Christ gave his life on the cross. Jesus was telling his disciples, "I am going to go away." And you know, Jesus even prayed, "Lord, if it's possible to remove this cup from me, then do it. But if it isn't, I will go through it." Jesus took the abuse, and he took the crown of thorns, and he took the beatings and the pulling out of his hair and the spitting of his face, and he never reviled against them. Yes, he could have called 12 angels, legions of angels to help him, yet he died there for you and for me, because he did it so our sins would be forgiven and the sins of the whole world was poured upon Christ and Christ alone. He overcame. He called out, "It is finished." When he was hanging on the cross, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The disciples at that time scattered, and they were afraid, and they hid. They wept and lamented because Christ hadn't set up this earthly kingdom, which they thought he was going to do. Yet when Christ came back from the dead and he came into the room where they were in locked doors, they were joyful, and they realized that their joy would never leave. Our joy will never leave if we completely give ourselves to Christ and say, "Jesus, you mean more to me than anything in the world. You mean more to me because I want to serve you and I want to be in heaven with you. That when you call me out of this world or call all the Christians out, we will be in heaven glorifying you and we will be praising and singing praises to you." In Chronicles, Hezekiah, he commanded his priests. He says, "I want you to command the people to sing praises to God, to praise him for his goodness because of what he has done for us." And so the same thing comes to us, and we sing praises unto him. Sarah sings a couple of songs, and you know, when they touch your heart and your life, and you can say, "Praise the Lord," and you pick out some wonderful music there because they are so uplifting, and they should want to make you shout and jump for joy because you're serving Christ. We see that we sing "Onward, Christian Soldiers." As a Christian, are we marching as to the battle, keeping our eyes on the prize at the end, which is the heavenly kingdom? The kingdom, we're only pilgrims here, realizing that we're going through this world, but we're not part of it. That as we go through this world, we know that Christ has not only come and died on the cross for us, and the disciples lamented, and yet the world was happy, and they went, walked by the cross, and many of them wagged their tongues, and they says, "You know, if you are the Christ, come down from the cross and show us a sign that you belong to God, that you're the Son of God. You know, this God you worship and that you claim, have him come down and save you." They did not realize that Christ hung on the cross for their sins and for ours. And as he died on that cross, he overcame Satan and he won the battle because he freed us from the bondage of sin, and he let us out of that prison house of sin that Satan had us in. He took and he won that battle, and he has told us, you know, physically we will probably all die, but spiritually we can all live because we have Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Because we come to the cross and we say, Lord Jesus, I realize it's the blood you shed on that cross that came down and covers my sin. And though my sins are scarlet, they shall be white as snow because they have been made that way through your blood. And it's because of what you have done for me that I have these mercies and compassion every day. We go through life and we see many types of sorrows. We can see the sorrow of property. And we think of the rich man when he came to Jesus and he says, you know, what can I do to be saved? And Jesus says, sell all that you have, all your earthly possessions, and come and follow me. And the man went away sorrowful because he was rich in the world. But he didn't want to give up what he had. He wanted to keep that, and he thought he would take it with him. Yet we find that, as Job says, naked came I into the world, and naked I will leave. And the day will come when, even though I'm in my grave and my skin perishes, he says, I will see my Redeemer face to face, and I will see him as he is, because I know my Redeemer lives. We can know that Christ lives today. He's in heaven. He is coming again. And we can look upon the world and we see, and we've been told in Scripture of the things to watch for. And as we watch for that, we're told to look up because our redemption draws near. And we know that it's been 2,000 years since Christ died on the cross. We are 2,000 years closer to his return than when he died and rose again the third day 2,000 years ago. Yet the disciples were very happy when he rose and they seen him face to face. We have the temporal sorrows, such as the disciples had, that Jesus was crucified. But then that sorrow turned to joy because he rose again and he made himself known unto them. We have many times temporal sorrows also. But then we can also see the sorrow of those who reject Jesus Christ. And if they reject Jesus Christ, there is no forgiveness of sin for them because they have refused to follow God and they have refused to accept what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Then we can see that we have joy also. We have joy in that Christ rose again from the dead and that he fulfilled the law of God. And fulfilling that law, we can have his peace which passes all understanding. We can have his peace that gives us peace even in this troubled world. And we can go through this world as Jesus has prayed. I pray you don't take them from the world necessarily, but that you keep them from the things in the world. That we have our sights on Christ Jesus and him alone. That he is first in all that we say or do. We see that the angels in heaven, Jesus tells us, will sing for joy on the repentance of one person that repents of their sin and accepts Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They sing for joy. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, thou art, was, and is to come, and forever you are holy, O Lord. And we see that. Do we sing those types of songs in ourselves? And are we willing to give praise to God above all things? We find that Hezekiah, as he proclaimed and he told the priests to make sure that the people praised God and gave him the glory and honor for saving the Jewish nation, that we see when Christ returns, he will rule the world from Jerusalem. And as he rules the world, he will also do it in justice and he will do it in peace. and he will say, you have no need of weaponry because we love in peace and we will live in peace. And it says he will rule the world with a rod of iron. His peace will be upon us and we will not know any war during that 1,000-year reign in which he is here on earth. But we will know that he died for us, and we will know that he is our Lord and Savior, and we will want to praise him and do his will, not only today, but forever. We will realize that we are pilgrims in this world, and as we go through this world, we will see that as pilgrims, our focus is on heaven. Our focus is on the glory to hear Christ say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in some. I will make you ruler over much. I would like to read a portion of scripture from Isaiah chapter 51. And I would like to, as soon as I get it, find it here. Isaiah 51, and we can start at verse 10. It's talking about the Lord's comfort. Are you not the one who dried up the sea when Israel was brought out of Egypt? The waters of the great deep that made the depths of the sea a road for the redeemed to cross over. God was redeeming Israel from the Egyptians. He took and brought back the Red Sea, and they moved across on dry land. And after they had moved across, the sea came back and drowned all the Egyptians who were trying to chase them and make them captive again. God does the same thing for us. He takes and makes us walk on dry land as we trust in Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Verse 11. So the ransomed of the Lord shall return and shall come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. What a wonderful, wonderful message, you know, to know. God is on our side. Why would we want to let Satan have his way in our life? We don't. We shouldn't. God is on our side. We can return to Christ. And if we have left him, let us return and repent of our sins and glorify Christ, because he is the Lord and Savior of the world. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would watch over each one of us. Keep us as we leave this place, O God, and help us, O Lord, to do your will. Help us to live for you day by day. And Lord, again, we thank you for Clifford and his wife, O Lord, on their 62nd anniversary. What a wonderful blessing that is for the family to see that this long marriage comes because they worked at it, having you at the center of their life, O God. Thank you for that, and thank you for them. Thank you for each one that has come out. And I pray, O God, you go with us as we leave. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 456.
As we sing this song, it's the first verse that says, stand up for Jesus, soldiers of the cross. When we look at this and we look at the world today, we always sit there and we wonder, you know, we hear one of these days we'll have to stand up for Christ. As we sing this song, I'd like it today. I'd like us to stand and sing this. If you can't stand and sing today, it's fine. Just in your hearts, picture yourself standing up for Jesus. Okay, Bjorn. Oh, stand up for Jesus as soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army he shall lead till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey, and forth in mighty conflict in his glorious day. Let all his faithful serve him against unnumbered foes. Strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, and in his strength alone, the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece out on with prayer. Who the cause of danger be ne'er wanting there. Stand up for Jesus. Strife will not be long. This day the den of battle, annex the victor's song. Soldiers overcoming, their crown of life shall see. With the King of glory shall reign eternally.
You may be seated, and let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for each one that has come out. And Lord, I pray that your blessings will be upon each one of us. Help us, O God, as we leave this place, that we will serve you and you alone, because you are our Lord and Master. We pray for those that are sick and afflicted, O God, that you would watch over them and heal their bodies. And we think of many of them in prayer, O God, that you would watch over them and keep them. Those that are traveling, O Lord, that they would have journeys, mercies, that they would realize these mercies come.